In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was sharing his heart. He said, many things used to be important to me, like Lydia sang about a moment ago. He said, I'm an Israelite. I belong to the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. I know the law. I keep the law. I have a zeal. I persecuted those who have tried to change things. And I stand blameless before the law. But he says, when I met Christ, all that became dung. It became garbage. I counted it all as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And the Apostle Paul goes on. He says, hey, I just don't want to have a surface relationship. I just don't want to know of him. I don't want to know just about him. I want a relationship that goes deeper than that. And so he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. There's too many Christians today that are satisfied with just a surface relationship with Jesus Christ. Too many Christians today satisfied just knowing of him or knowing about him. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to go deeper. Deeper than just a surface relationship. I want you to have a hunger like the Apostle Paul did when he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, to encourage you to do that, I'm going to mention seven groups of people this morning. Seven groups of people that knew Jesus. But as we move through those seven groups of people, you're going to find that their relationship, as we move through the seven groups of people, grow deeper and deeper. And I'm going to encourage you, you need to start where we're going to start, but I want to encourage you to end up where we're going to end up this morning. The first group of people I want to talk to you about is the 5,000 that we read about in John chapter 6. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sent down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Here was a large group of people, 5,000 men, plus the ladies and the children that were there, that knew Christ. They'd heard him teach. They'd heard him preach. They saw him work miracles. Perhaps they saw him make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. But they certainly all saw the miracle that we just read about. He took five little pieces of bread and a couple of fish, and in a miraculous way fed 5,000 men, and again, the ladies and children that were there. Some people think there were up to 15,000 people on the hillsides that day. But everybody had all the bread that they wanted to eat and all the fish that they wanted to eat, and they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Many people know Jesus today in the same way. They read the Bible, and through its pages, they hear his teaching, and they hear his preaching. Through its pages, they witness his miracles. The fact that he walked on water. The fact that he cast out demons. The fact that he raised the dead. And many today know this Christ by what they've read in the Word of God. And by the way, you can't get to know Jesus without reading the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you're going to get to know Jesus, because that's what the Bible is all about. It's about Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, everything in the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. I mean, Genesis to Malachi tell us that he was coming. Matthew to John tell us what he did while he was here. The book of Acts to Jude tell us how he changed people's lives. And the book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen when he comes back. And so everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And when you read the Bible, you can't help but know him. But don't stop there. Don't stop with just reading the Bible. Don't stop with just the knowledge that you get about Jesus from reading the Bible. Take it to the next step. The next step is the 500 people that's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes there. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. Don't be satisfied with just being part of the 5,000. Become a part of the 500 that saw the resurrected Lord. 10% of the first group. 500 compared to 5,000. But 5,000 people that saw the crucified Christ alive. Amen. Alive. The one that was falsely tried and beaten beyond recognition is alive. The one that went through the cross and the nails were driven through his hands and his feet, the spear stuck in his side, is alive. The one that was wrapped in grave clothes and laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights is alive. The ones that was guarded by the soldiers and said, and the Pharisees said, oh, put the guard around the tomb because he said he was coming back to life. We don't want him, his disciples to come and steal his body. 500 people saw him. He is alive. They saw the gospel. They saw the gospel alive. If you're not in this group, that's what you need to see this morning. A resurrected Christ. You see, all of us are sinners. The wages all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And because we're sinners, there's a penalty associated with that sin. The wages of sin is death. Without Christ, we're all under the punishment and the condemnation of sin. But Jesus did go to the cross. He hung on that cross. And as he hung on that cross, God placed on him every one of our sins. And as he died, he paid the price for our sins. Yes, they laid him in the tomb. Yes, he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But on that first Easter Sunday morning, the rock was rolled away. The rock didn't need to be rolled away so Jesus could get out. He was going to walk through walls. He could walk through a rock. The rock was rolled away so that mankind could look in and see they have a resurrected Savior, one that defeated death. And then he appeared to 500 people. 500 people that knew they were sinners, that knew they needed a Savior, and saw that Savior alive. Alive. He died for our sins. He died to pay the price, what we owed. If you'll trust him and accept him, he'll make you a child of God. He'll wipe away all of your sins. You'll stand before God just as if you've never sinned. And one day he'll take you to heaven. Don't stop just knowing about who God, who Jesus was, about what he did when he was here on this earth, about the teachings that he taught and the sermons that he preached and the miracles that he's worked. You come to know him as the resurrected Savior, the one who defeat death, and in defeating death paid the price for your sin. But I hasten to say, don't stop there. Don't just stop with being part of the 5,000 and knowing what he did. And don't stop with just being part of the 500 and receiving him as the Savior. I encourage you to become part of the next group, the 120 that are mentioned in Acts chapter 1. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode the disciples. There all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. And I won't take the time to read what Peter said, but 120 gathered in that upper room, a somewhat smaller group than the 500. And for 10 days, they continued in one accord and in prayer and supplication. And you know what they did in those 10 days? They prayed down the power of God. The Holy Spirit came in answer to their prayer. It gave them the power of God in their lives. And this morning, you may know about Jesus from reading this book. You may know what he said and what he did. You may be a Christian this morning because you've seen the resurrected Lord and know that he died for your sins. But I encourage you to become part of that 120 that know that we still have a God that answers prayer. That we still have a God that hears when his children cry out to him. And we still have a God that will answer that prayer. Maybe not in the way we want him to, but in a way that's good for us. In a way that he knows is best for us. Look, you get to know God when you know that he, when you learn how to pray. You get to know Jesus when you pray and Jesus answers that prayer. You let your little child get sick. And you fall to your knees. Bill and Sandy's daughter, Lynn's in the hospital. Forgot to mention her a moment ago. Her husband's here this morning. She's going to have surgery tomorrow. We need to pray for her. There's a lot of praying going on for her. I know this man right here and this lady right here and this man over here. And they're praying for her because they believe they have a God that answers prayer. And when Jesus answers prayer for a child, or for a spouse, or for somebody you're praying for, you get to know him more. Amen. Don't just stop with being part of the 5,000. Don't just stop with being part of the 500. Be a part of the 120, but don't stop there. Be a part of the 70 that the Bible talks about in Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. And they preached, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. 5,000, down to 500, down to 120, down to 70. That Jesus sent out and said, I want you to go where I'm about to go, and I want you to tell people I'm coming. I want you to tell people I'm coming. I want you to tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what he's left us to do. He's coming back. And he's left us here to go out and tell people, hey, he's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. The kingdom of God is nigh. It's nigher now than it's ever been. One of these days, the next thing that's going to happen, we're going to hear that trumpet sound. And we're going to hear that cry, come up hither, then we that know Christ as our Savior. The graves are going to open first. They got 6 feet further to go. But then we which are alive are going to rise up together in the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says together forever we're going to be with the Lord. Until then, there are people that need to hear that he's coming back. Until then, there are people that need to hear they're a sinner and they need a Savior. Until then, they need to hear the gospel. They need to know there's a God that answers prayer. They need to know that there's a God that cares for them. Amen. And we need to go and tell. Not just a few cities, not just a few countries, but the whole world. That's why Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every person needs to hear. Every person has a soul that will never die. Every person has a soul that will either spend eternity in heaven or hell. And we need to tell them that the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus is coming back, and we need to tell them. The 70 know more of Christ than the 120. The 120 know more of Christ than the 500. The 500 know more of Christ than the 5,000. But don't stop at just being a witness, at being part of the 70. Be part of the 12 that's talked about in Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. 12 that left their families and their homes, their professions. 12 that gave their lives to Christ. For 3.5 years they lived with him. They heard every word he said. They slept in the same places that he slept. They ate with him. They traveled with him. They had front row seats as he taught, as he preached, as he healed. They got to know him better than anybody else on earth. These 12 men that were with him for 3.5 years. Let me ask you this morning, you're saved. You know that God answers prayer. You witness for him. You tell people that he's coming back. But are you willing to give everything you have to Jesus? If he called you to leave your home, to leave your family, to go to a different place in this world to serve him, would you be willing to do that? That's how you get to know him. You get to that point in your life where you say, I surrender all. Everything that's important to me is just garbage. It's just dung, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. But don't stop there. Don't stop with just being one of the 12. Become part of the three, the inner circle. Three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. The only three he took into the room when he called Jairus' daughter back to life. The only three that he took to the Mount of Transfiguration when Elijah and Moses appeared unto Christ. The only three that he took deeper into the garden the night before he was crucified and said, Fellas, I want you to pray with me. This cup that I'm going to have to bear is hard. I need you to pray with me. These three were used in mighty ways by God. James was the first martyr. Peter preached at Pentecost and saw 3,000 saved and baptized in one day. John was exiled on Patmos, given the revelation of Jesus Christ. They not only were willing to give their life to him, they were willing to give their life for him. You get to know Jesus when you're willing to do that. But don't be satisfied there. Take the final step. Become that one that's talked about in John chapter 13, verse 23, where the Bible says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. 5,000 were fed. 500 saw the resurrected Christ. 120 prayed in the upper room. 70 were sent out to witness. 12 chosen to be an apostle. 3 in the inner circle. But there was only one that leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. There was only one who the Bible says, the disciple that Jesus loved. Only one who stood at the foot of the cross so that he could entrust his mother's care to the apostle John. Just one who knew Jesus in that way. When Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, this is what I think he was talking about. Paul said, I want to lean on his breast. I want to know him that well that when I need to, I can come and put my head down on his chest. I could feel his arms around me. And I know, and I will know, that he loves me. He loves me. That's how God wants each one of us to get to know him. That we could come to that point. We could come into our presence, his presence, and we can lean on him. That I may know him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we would have that same desire in our life. Help us not to just be satisfied with a surface relationship with Jesus Christ. Help us, first of all, to be saved. And Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never received Christ, they may know all about him. They may be able to quote the Bible and tell us things that Jesus said and things that he did. But Father, help them to come to know him as the risen Savior, their Savior, who died for their sins. But Father, help us not to be stopped there. Help us to get to know Jesus as the one who answers prayer, the one who commissioned us and sent us out, the one who calls us to give up everything we have, the one who wants to take us into a deeper relationship with him and let us see things that others won't see. And then finally, Father, the one who leaned on his breast, felt his arms around him, knew that he was loved by the Son of God. I pray that it would be the desire of every Christian to know Jesus in that way. Help us, Father, to have that desire and then to give ourselves to you so we can know him in that way. Again, I pray for those that here that don't know him at all as Savior. I pray in the next few minutes, Holy Spirit, you would convict them of their sin. You would help them walk the aisle, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. We give it over to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.